The FPL Experiment Podcast is back. There are three of us. We have one team. And at the start of the season, we set ourselves a target. The target was to finish in the top 10K. And you know what? Things are going better. But there is a long way to go. In the Premier League, what a week. The title blown wide open by a Masuaku mishit. Let's get into it. Let's make some plans for game week 16. It's been a while, lads. Greg, anything interesting to update us on since whenever it was that we did the last podcast? It feels like a while ago.
Feels like an aeon ago, doesn't it? I had a very good day today. I've got a new larder cupboard for the kitchen.
Oh, God.
Honestly, it's the thing of beauty. It's fantastic.
Does your memory only work so that you can only remember what's happened today?
And it has to be kitchen or bin or window related.
Do you know what? I've just realised that my life does revolve around those things, doesn't it?
Don't get your dog.
My dog, she's here. Listen, that's her. I took the dog to the vets today as well, bless her. But no, yeah, like that's a big thing in my life. I've been waiting for this larder cupboard for quite a while now.
How's the other half live, eh? Unbelievable.
What have you been doing in between, Greg? It must have been terrible.
Yeah. How have you survived without that larder?
I've just been looking at lots of pictures of larder cupboards just to keep me going.
What's in it?
All my spices in it. So I'm going to get, like, obviously, going to have to decant all of their existing things into it so it's all nice. It's got my label maker to put all my labels on it. It's even got a slate bottom on the bottom shelf so you can keep stuff relatively cold and fresh in it as well. Oh.
Do you know what? Normally my nan doesn't enjoy this podcast, but I think she's going to enjoy it this week.
Nick, you've got something for everybody. It's a podcast for all.
I was going to say, you've bailed on a few podcasts recently, yet you have time to make labels for your spices. So I think there's some real odd balance going on in your life. God, he loves spices.
We haven't been on for ages, and this is the comeback, the intro. Nick, save the podcast. Been up to anything good?
I feel very creamy. Sorry. I have been drinking a lot of Baileys. It's that time of year, isn't it? So yeah, I think I've already ploughed my way through a few litres. And Baileys is one of those weird drinks that, excuse me, you can probably hear it.
Seems
it's
to be
always
a bit
kind of just
there,
about
mate.
There.
Coagulating.
Yeah. It's one of those drinks where it's just delicious and it's like slipping into a warm bath, but then, oh God, you can really feel that. You can really feel it in your veins the following morning. It's lovely. You know, for those of you who haven't tried Baileys, try it. It's delicious.
Have you tried the Marks & Spencer's one, the salted caramel? Amazing.
Oh. No, I bet that's... There's a Finnish version called Kiro, which I read a review. This is what I'm into at the moment, just like different types of Baileys alternatives, you know? And I was reading a review and it was described as grown-up Baileys. So I've got to get my hands on it. It's got dry whiskey and Finnish cream in it.
Do you know what? Yesterday, I had my first Christmas spread of the year and I thought, do you know what? This season, we've talked about food a lot less and we haven't been as good at fantasy football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
So
there's a correlation. There's a correlation.
So ham, obvious, with a little Coca-Cola glaze on the top, some sausage rolls, cheese straws, also obvious. A camembert, some mulled wine. Good start to the month. Enjoyed it.
But was it as good as your toad in the hole that you were raving about the other day?
The toad in the hole was just classic. You know, Jamie Oliver's toad in the hole is just a classic. Yeah, the Christmas spread, that's next level stuff right there. Back to the normal stuff in the podcast. So definitely today what we're going to cover will be game week picks, differentials, captain transfers, and let's just quickly talk about the FPL Experiment League and our team and what's changed. Because lots has changed. We now have Reece James, who scored 0 points and 0 points for the two game weeks that we've had him. Madison, who scored against Southampton and then did nothing against Villa, although Villa have been far improved. So he's doing all right. But this week, we are recording on a Monday night. So Arsenal are playing right now. And we're currently relying on a Ben White hat-trick because we've only got 37 points for the game week. Yeah, really, it came down to whether or not you had Silva or Son. And we don't have either. But we have got Trent, James, Cancelo, White at the back, Madison, Salah, Rafinha, Jota, Kane and Tony. Although Tony didn't play, so Gallagher is going to come in. So our overall rank now is around about 660k, which I don't see changing all that much. We have jumped up over about four game weeks from 1.1 million. So it's okay. It's fine. I actually quite like the look of our team at the minute.
Yeah, it's pretty stable. I think it's a lot more balanced than it was. I think we've done a good job of spreading the funds out a bit. But there's a few people stinking it up, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Kane is just,
Harry Kane, just, yeah.
Disgraceful. Yeah.
Harry Kane had two really good chances, though, at the weekend. The lob, under normal circumstances, Harry Kane probably would have scored that. So,
but he's not facing Binman, so they won't go in.
I mean, near enough, Norwich.
Yeah, Tim Krul is pretty much as close to a Binman goalkeeper as you can get.
I have not watched loads of Spurs this season, but I watched him, and I don't get me wrong, I drifted in and out because he was on Amazon, so I was like flicking around. But he just didn't seem like he was really an integral part of that team from an attacking perspective. And granted, I missed that lob ad, but if you'd asked me, I'd have said that he wasn't really involved at all in that game. It's a shame.
Not strictly true, because he had two or three really good chances to score. One good save from the keeper and one where he probably should have scored. The thing is with Kane, you know, at some stage he's probably going to erupt. You know, if he's got the fixtures, he's going to come good. But it's just a high risk given that value that he carries. In the FPL Experiment League, Reece Marlow is leading by 6. There's a nice little tussle going on. Tom Glover's in there, 3 points behind is Lee Ebersberger. And also in the mix, Mike Mahoney.
Come on, the mic.
Yeah, always in touch with Mike. So nice to see Mike in the mix. John O'Brien as well, who we often speak to on social media. And of course, Wooshka Babushka is also still up there. Couple of FPL stories I thought that were worth bringing up at the start, because we're getting to that time of year where people are getting close to the 5 yellow cards and they get a ban. So I saw this on the scout today. Cancelo, Rafinha and Gallagher all have 4 yellow cards. And obviously all of those are in our team.
When does it get reset?
I think it's the end of the month. That part of the article I didn't read, but I'm pretty sure it's the end of the month.
Good to see you got all the main facts.
I mean, you can go and Google it. That's what Google's for, if you want, Nick. Lazy bastard. It's over there just sipping away on your Baileys. Can't even be bothered to use his fingers. Right, goalkeepers, let's think about them. Starting there for game week picks. Do you know what? I'm looking at De Gea. And I actually stole this off of somebody else because last week I heard Mark Southern's talking about this. But their fixtures coming up. Norwich, Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley, Wolves, Villa, and he's £5 million. And Ranić comes in and demonstrates what all new managers do. Well, good managers anyway. And they work on the defence first and foremost, and then they try and build from there. And you've got an opportunity to jump on De Gea and have a Manchester United goalkeeper for £5 million. So do like that as a pick. Who are you thinking about, Greg?
This is going to surprise you, but I've gone for David De Gea. Look, as you just said, phenomenal set of fixtures coming up, and they're going to be more organised. They looked more organised. They looked like they had a game plan. It was only their first clean sheet in 16 games, the third of the season in the Premier League. But I think it'd be hard to imagine them not getting any more clean sheets in that run of fixtures. So I went for David De Gea.
Nick?
I went for Ramsdale. And the reason I went for him is I think I love him. He's so fun to watch. And as you know, or as you might know, I'm all about the glamour keepers. So I like fellas who make big saves for the camera. I like people who shout a lot. And I like people who look like they're teetering on the edge. And I think he ticks all the boxes for me. And he's making their defence so much more solid. And they've got a nice fixture at home to Southampton. I think there could be clean sheet points written all over that.
Both your faves are playing tonight, Nick. Pickford and Ramsdale against each other.
I know.
Nick, sorry that we've had to do a podcast tonight, mate, of all nights.
I mean, you know I love watching keepers, and I think that would have been it for me. Like, that's pure nirvana, my boys, Pickford. And I mean, Ramsdale's on the edge of ousting Pickford for me.
That's big. Right. You know how you describe what you love about a goalkeeper? Is that why you love me so much?
Well, throw in
You're the opposite of on the edge, though, aren't you, with your pantry or whatever it is, your larder.
Living life on the edge. Woo! Waiting for your larder cupboard.
Greg's pantry. Right. Otherwise, defenders. I mean, Cancelo, James and Trent are still the obvious three, and they've got great fixtures this week. And do you know what? I'm looking at it thinking, I would probably like a fourth defender because I don't think strikers are performing well enough. And so who would I put in that fourth spot? I think it's Reguilon, but he's obviously injured at the weekend. I mean, I keep hearing his name quite often. It's bizarre that. I keep seeing it
a lot,
like every day on our WhatsApp group from Nick. The other one right up there at the moment for chances in the box and who could be worth investing, and I have done this before because I wouldn't pick him this week, but next week he's got Norwich and Burnley. Matty Cash.
Are we changing the format of the pod here? Like, are we just saying look, who's Nick, good? Who's I'm good always, to pick at some point in the season?
If you change the day that we're doing the podcast by and bring it 2 days early, sometimes you've got to expect these things, all right?
Poland's finest. Nick, you know who he is these days as well.
I do, yeah, I've heard of him. He's decent.
Yeah, they have been much improved, Villa. And when you look at the sides that are doing well at the back, other than City and Liverpool, Villa, you know, defensively have been far improved. I'm sure that will change this weekend when they play against Liverpool. But generally speaking, they have been a bit better and he's got that kind of attacking potential as well. Nick, who are you thinking about at the back?
So watching United versus Palace at the weekend, I thought that Alex Telles looked like he really wants it. He was just walloping it from all over the shop. He's on set pieces. As you said, Ranić's going to tighten it up first and foremost. And that might sound a little bit like a lazy assumption, but generally it's true. New managers try and tighten up at the back. I think he would be a bit of a punt because you've got Luke Shaw waiting in the wings. I don't really know what the latest is in terms of when he's due to come back to the first team, but he looked really exciting. And Dalot, I think you said this as well, Greg. Dalo looked really exciting as well. So I think those two players are actually, if you can figure out who's the safest in terms of the number of games they're going to get from here on out, I think he could be onto a winner.
I thought Dalo was going to explode at United. When he first came in, when Solskjaer was there, he looked great. They were playing him against the poor teams. And I thought, this guy's so attacking. He looks brilliant.
It's quite hard when you've got Maguire and Lindelof, who probably aren't the most athletic and dynamic centre-backs, to then play a really attacking full-back. And I think Wan-Bissaka kind of filled the gap there because he was so good from a defensive perspective. But if Ranić can get him like vibing from a defensive perspective, then maybe they can afford to be a bit more swashbuckling from that full-back position.
That's a Greg Shaw word, that. You've stolen that off Greg. That's one of his little catchphrases that he likes to use.
Do you know what? We haven't done a pod for what feels like 2 weeks, but I feel like our minds have melded. And my defensive pick of the week is Dalo. I kind of went with your reasoning, though, Adam. I was like, look, everyone's pretty much going to have a sort of an amalgamation of those three we discussed or maybe other players from those teams. So who is that fourth additional defender maybe on top of Livramento if he's in your squad as well? And at 4.4 million, I think he could be an absolute bargain. Yes, look, we're talking about one game in isolation here. And is he going to be ousting Aaron Wan-Bissaka at that right-back spot? I don't know. But Ralph Rangnick, am I saying that correct, Adam? Rangnick? When he came out and spoke after the game, he was talking so positively about both Telles and Dalo and saying that from an attacking perspective, how offensive they were and how pleased he was with their sort of distribution. And he had two successful crosses from three attempts, which I don't think Aaron Wan-Bissaka has had two successful crosses in two seasons. From that alone, and given what he's going to be doing with hopefully what he's going to be doing with that Man United team from an FPL perspective, he could be a really attractive asset, particularly given how cheap he is as well. And I think we've got to be careful. Is he a guaranteed starter? I don't know. But I think for right now, he's worth chucking in your squad at 4.4 million.
Interesting that they've gone for a switch out, though, already in that before they were trying to crowbar the players in. Now he's going to have a system and he's going to get the right players that fit into that system, irrespective of whether they maybe have the right players or the best players right now. And that's maybe where they went wrong in the past. Anyway, into midfield. Similar situation in midfield in that Jota and Salah are players that you want. Probably Silva or one of the other Manchester City midfielders. And then otherwise, I'm looking at Bowen. Same number of chances in the box in the last 2 weeks as Salah, 6. Over the last 4 game weeks, when you check all the key metrics, he's a top 5 midfielder. And over that time, although he's only scored 1 goal, they've played Chelsea, Liverpool and City and Brighton, who historically are good at the back. They've got 6 very attackable fixtures in the next 7. And the other one is Arsenal. And given that West Ham have just beaten Chelsea, I think there's a chance that they could go on and beat Arsenal. I think he looks great at the minute. And he's pretty cheap as well and still not many people getting onto him.
Brill Cream Bowen, as Nick Jackson coins him.
Never called him that.
No, he should be Brill Cream Bowen, so the nickname doesn't really work. Yeah, Nick, what are you thinking about in midfield?
I think it's got to be Bernardo this week. We did speak about him a couple of weeks back, and I was definitely sceptical about him. I kind of assumed that he would eventually drop deeper as players came back, but he genuinely looks unplayable at the moment. And the comments Guardiola was making about him as well, it feels like he's relying on him. And I feel like I've said this before about Foden, maybe like a month or so ago. But Bernardo, if he is playing every single game and Guardiola is relying on him, that's fantastic from an FPL perspective, because we never really get that with City apart from a few players. I think with those fixtures as well, you need at least one Man City midfielder slash attacker, and there's not much going in the... I mean, you could go for Jesus, but it's risky. He's not really scoring that many, although he is assisting. And those fixtures, Wolves, Leeds, Newcastle, Leicester, Brentford, that almost feels like there's some sort of mistake in the scheduling. Like, that is such an easy run. I think you've got to consider him for this week.
Would you go for any of the other Man City midfielders at all? Because I saw a few people on Twitter yesterday talking about how Grealish was really unlucky, and if this had happened, then Grealish would have got points. And also talking about maybe Gundogan and maybe Foden.
I think you can very quickly rule the players out that come with too much risk. So Grealish hasn't had many minutes back. Foden, it has just not been consistent enough from an FPL perspective. You look at his numbers, granted he scored a lot of points over the course of the season so far, but a lot of them came in a few games. Bruno's really the only one that is playing consistently. Gundogan could be a good shout, but I don't think he's as powerful an FPL asset as he was last season.
So powerful.
All the adjectives today, Nicholas. All the adjectives.
Just as an aside, Greg, whilst I remember to talk about this, are you enjoying Nick's massive Barnett today?
It's got a lot of volume to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's really put something in that. What is that, Nick? Like Vidal Sassoon?
There's no mousse. I've not blow dried it. If I just do this enough, I've just run my fingers through my hair enough every day, it just seems to get natural
day.
Volume. Every day, mate. I was saying to Adam before you joined, Greg, that I'm just going to the barbs and saying, just leave the top. Just leave it. And I've done that for the last two or three times. I'm just going to see where it goes.
Good hair chat. And I decided to bring it up. I don't really know why. It was just in my head. And therefore it came out.
I'm glad you like it, though. Thank you.
Yeah, it looks good, mate. You look wonderful. You look
thanks,
so nice.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas. Bernardo Silva, love him, by the way. I think we should have got him in a few weeks back. And I think you're right. I just wanted to test what you thought about other City midfielders. Greg, who are you thinking about in midfield?
The minds have melded once again, and I've chosen Bernardo. I'm surprised that I thought he would be a lot less owned than what he actually is. He's somehow jumped up to 21% ownership now. So I don't know if that's been a massive surge recently. I know he obviously had a price rise over the weekend as well, but I don't necessarily know if it seems obvious talking about him, but I think we need to do so. And Nick, you made a lot of very good points there. Look, fixture-wise, very sexy. Since game week 8, he scored 59 points, 7.4 points game week average. You need some Man City attacking assets in your squad right now, given those run of games. He is what seems the most reliable of them to be getting starting berths in that team. He's not in the squad, Adam. You sent us a tweet earlier saying that he's been rested and not flown out for the Champions League, which is great for fantasy football. And there was also, for those that have got a little bit longer to read, Seb Vassell, however you say your name, sorry, Seb, but he did a really good thread yesterday on sort of Silva's numbers compared to Gundogan's last season. So if you ever want a little bit more of a deeper dive into it, go and read that thread, because hopefully it'll help you make up your decision on what to do with Man City midfield assets.
Do you know who else did a really good thread at the weekend? Fred for Man United. That was a really good thread. I'd never seen Fred do a thread like that, but that was...
Oh, my God.
Woo! Very good.
You're not even a dad, but that's a proper dad joke.
I really enjoyed that one in Adam.
Yeah.
That was a low one. Up front, Callum Wilson for this game week in isolation looks great, because Leicester are terrible at the back, but beyond that, his fixtures are terrible. The obvious is Ronaldo, given those fixtures. You would imagine that Manchester United would come good over that fixture run. They created a lot of chances over the weekend. And I'd be very surprised, given the other picks that you guys have gone for, if you're not going for a United pick and you're not going for Ronaldo. Anybody else you're liking up front?
Yeah, I went for a West Ham attacker and someone that's actually been performing pretty pants recently. But Antonio, 7.9 million. He's still owned by a whopping 38.8%. But obviously, what you talked about earlier, given their sort of change of fixture difficulty now, and he finally got an attack in return, if you want to give him that assist for Masuaku's miss it, but he got given it. So he's someone that you like having in your team. I like owning him, even when he's been as turd as he has. He's been, I still want him in my team. And I think they're going to be so confident and so full of energy and buoyed after that result against Chelsea. And you want a bit of, you want a bit of that in your squad. And Burnley, Arsenal, Norwich, Southampton, Watford, Crystal Palace, Leeds, that's fantastic. And I'm banking on him flipping his sort of fortunes over and going on a good run again.
I'm always a bit concerned with him though, when there are a lot of games, because he might get injured. That's just always nagging away in the back of my head. But he's also been running the channels a lot more. But then equally at the weekend, he could have had more points. There was that cross that he put over for Bowen, who came sliding in Paul Gascoigne style, Euro 96, and didn't quite make it. He did have other opportunities for assists, but I just don't know that there was enough from a goal scoring perspective. But their fixture running is really
disallowed, didn't he, as well?
But also, remember, he scored two absolute whoppers and for Jamaica as well. So he's been scoring goals.
Yeah, but that's your bin man analogy, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I do think, though, that anytime my way of viewing FPL is that if I go into any game not owning a player and I'm constantly checking whether he scored or not, that's a player I want in my team. I do include Antonio in that category just because he can score against anyone. And I don't know, I think just to reduce my anxiety at the weekend, I would like to have him in our side.
Nicholas?
I'm going for Josh King. And this is quite clearly the polar opposite of sexy in terms of a pick, but I'm following the fixtures and they've got Brentford, Burnley, Palace, Wolves. There's been a lot of these sides recently that have just had really, really good runs, and Watford have actually been scoring really well over the last month or so, and their team XG is really, really high when you look at it relative to the rest of the league. So Josh King has by far and away the better numbers. And Greg, you shared some data earlier, but he does absolutely blow Emmanuel Dennis out the water when it comes to those key attacking stats.
Apart from
those
the KPIs. Goals in the last five
or six
games.
We don't need to worry about that.
No, yeah, just look at the numbers, detail. Not the actual goals. Yeah.
The underlying numbers are better. I think if you're going to go for one and you can afford it, go for King. It's not glamorous, but I think for under 6 million, tasty little lad.
Do you know what? I was just thinking about the Africa Cup of Nations, which is coming up, and I wonder whether Dennis has been performing really well because he's like, look, I want to get into that squad, because he definitely hasn't been a mainstay for Nigeria. And I wonder whether or not for the whole month you could just, he might be the one to go for. It's the only thing that's in my mind, because he has got something to play for. And I do remember saying that a lot last season, so I thought I'd just reuse it.
Do you follow the Nigerian national team quite closely?
Big fan. Big fan.
Yeah, but I think you do need to consider that, though, conversely, in that he's going to go away in the new year. Like, when is it? Like, in the next... You've got maybe a lot of...
Yeah, but I've got a wild card then, so I can ship him out.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Differentials. Let's get into that. Greg Shaw is the songmaster.
Differential of the week!
Differentials cost £8 million or less for us and are owned by 5% or fewer teams. Who was the biggest differential this week with 17 points?
It's Konsa, surely.
Yeah. Ezri Konsa.
It looks like you just want to get any centre-back who gets up for corners against Leicester, just get him in.
Watch Nick choose Chris Wood again this week then.
So the differential lead table took quite a big twist, and we haven't done this for a while. Previously, Greg was at the top with 67. I had 52. Nick had 35. Nick then went for Trossard against Leeds. So this is how far back we're going. He got 3 points. I went for Benteke against his old side. A dirty pick because Greg had picked him the week before. He played against Villa and got just two. Greg went for Gundogan, who got 13 against West Ham.
Come on!
So
too easy.
Greg won last year and is now at the top of the table with 80. I've got 54. Nick's got 38. And I think, you know, the obvious question, Nick, is why isn't Greg as good at picking players for our team as he is at picking differentials? Why is that?
It's a very good question that I don't think I'm ever going to know the answer to. But maybe he's just not good at arguing his point. Maybe if he just put across a better point as to why he wants a player in our team, we'd listen.
Oh, okay. Serious. So normally we go the other way around and Nick goes first, but let's let Greg go first.
Oh, what?
Greg, who are you going for?
I'm going to go for the punt of Diego Dalot, 4.4 million and 0.3% away to Norwich. So I can see some attacking returns there for a Man United defender.
I was very surprised that Callum Wilson was only owned by 4.6% of teams. So I'm going for Callum at 7.5 million against Leicester. He's had a couple of goals in his last two. And, well, Leicester just aren't very good at the back. Nick?
I'm going to go for Harvey Barnes. 6.5 million, 2.6% owned against Newcastle. He's been racking up a few points recently. So, yeah, I fancy him.
Wilson, Dallow and Barnes, the three for differentials this week. Let's talk about our team and transfers. So we're not going to make a decision because you've got the Champions League, Europa League, all of that. There could be injuries. There usually is. We've got two transfers and we're definitely all getting very excited about the two transfers because there have been loads of stuff flying about today. The team issues essentially are we've got Kane. I'm quite happy to get rid of Kane. I think there's too much value there. I think we've all said that. Rafinha has actually done okay recently. So it does feel a bit weird to get rid of him, but at the same time, his fixtures aren't particularly good. And Gallagher, Greg brought up the fact that he's been playing a bit deeper recently, and that has translated in that he hasn't got any points, although he has got really good fixtures coming up, but maybe we'll come to that. Do you know one thing that is on my mind? We've had this really up and down season, and we went for Ronaldo earlier on in the season, and it didn't work. Wouldn't it just be typical if this time he got loads of points and we didn't bring him in? Because I'm actually not planning, and none of us have mentioned Ronaldo. I'm not planning for it. It would be very, very typical. Anyway, what I'm thinking is Gallagher, Rafinha and Kane out for Son, Silva and another. And I'll come on to that. So for me, the first name that I would go for would be Son. He's in form, 2 goals and 2. The first time I watched Spurs under Conte, I was thinking, right, Moura and Son look like the two that are going to get more points in this system. I think I said it on this podcast, actually. And that does seem to be the case. Since Conte's come in, Spurs have turned around. They're a much more attacking team. If you look at XG since he's come in, you've got City and Liverpool in the league. And the team that come after that are Spurs in terms of best XG. But that's also translated in terms of goals as well. Fixtures, Brighton coming up next. Greg sent through something to our WhatsApp group today that Brighton are decimated with injuries. So that looks great. They've then got Leicester, worst defensive record around. So for the next two, Son looks great. They then play Liverpool. Okay, not a great fixture. But then after that, they've got really good fixtures, Spurs. The other thing is for Son, if he's fit, he plays. And Conte's had a couple of weeks to work with him as well. So Son's the first name for me. The second would be Silva. You've both already mentioned him. He's in one of the best attacking teams in the league. I want a slice of that team. They've got two home fixtures. There's one spot to fill. And to be honest with you, up front, I couldn't choose a striker to fill there because I don't think there's one that's really singing. If I had to, I probably would choose Benteke because they've got Everton and Southampton at home in their next two. But I'm not exactly, you know, I don't love the idea of Benteke. It's not screaming out to me. So I'm kind of prepared to listen if you two have another one that you want to go for. Nick, who are you thinking about as your transfers? Because I think we're all going very different.
I really like your Son shout, and I was just looking at how many points he scored. He scored 81 points this season, and Harry Kane's on 33 points. So I think that would be a clear upgrade if we could make that switch. I was umming and ahhing about him versus Bruno. I actually went with Bruno just because of the fixtures. I think the fixtures look really good. I am kind of slightly wary in that he's not on penalties anymore, so that, you know, diminishes his appeal somewhat. But I think for me, very similar moves to you. I think the main motivations are we need to get a City attacker. We need to get rid of Kane. I also don't really like Tony or Gallagher or Rafinha for various different reasons. So my preference and what I've got written down here is Kane, Gallagher, Rafinha out, and then Bruno, Bernardo and Josh King to come in because Josh King's so cheap. I mean, I don't really like the look of that forward line, Josh King and Ivan Toney, but the midfield looks delightful. So I don't know. I think we could maybe play around with it and figure out a way to shoehorn in Antonio or maybe Bowen. But I just think there's so many good options in midfield right now. I think we just have to plow all of our budget into that part of the pitch.
Greg.
Very similar to you both. I want Kane out. I want Gallagher out for the very reason you discussed. I think he's playing deeper because MacArthur's out, and I think that's had a big impact on him from an attacking perspective. And I think Rafinha needs to come out because, and this pains me to say it, but December's a really stinky month fixture-wise for Leeds, and we're not playing well. Phillips got injured again.
Did he? What a nightmare.
Yeah, so I don't know how serious that is. I want to bring Bernardo in, so we're all singing off the same hymn sheet in regards to that. He makes so much sense. I want to bring Marcus Rashford in. And the reason for that is given how they set up at the weekend, you've got an out of position Man United asset playing up front, which is fan is FPL gold when it comes to that. They played that 4-2-2-2 formation, and Ranieri came out and said, look, he wants to utilise that pace of Rashford from that those quick transitions. And the two sort of number 10s he was referring to, in this instance, it was Sancho and Bruno, who were almost at times playing as de facto wingbacks, so that Dallo and Tellers would then overlap from them. So I want Rashford ahead of Bruno on the basis that I don't think Bruno's on penalties, which was a big appeal for him anyway. But I think this sets Rashford up in a great way. And I think he could have a similar sort of impact to what Werner had for him at Leipzig all those years back. And I think that's the sort of way he's going to be playing. And my spidey senses, I don't know, I've just got a good gut feeling about this. That's why I've gone for Rashford. And then that
did you turn into a superhero though?
Lauder man. I've also gone for Rashford as well, because it enables us to not just go with some many old fodder up front and King, Dennis or Benteke. I think it enables us then to bring Antonio in. And I want a bit of that West Ham attacking output.
I like that.
Do you know what? It happened last time, so I thought I'd just give you another Christmas analogy, because I did know what moves you two were thinking about making with Fernandes and Rashford. It feels a bit like you're suggesting a toy that doesn't have any batteries in. That's the present that you want to bring. And once it's got batteries, it could work. It could be brilliant. But I'm offering you Son, who is always charged. He doesn't need batteries. He's ready to go right now. And there's not going to be a screaming child now. The thing is, I did listen to I did think about Rashford. And I don't know if you'd seen a thread about FPL, Greg, that I also saw, or I saw a thread last night about somebody else talking about Rashford, saying the same things about Werner when he was at Leipzig and he scored all those goals in that coming off the inside left position, where Rashford has been so effective for United. So I can see that working. So I did also go away to put together an alternative, but I've only had about 20 minutes to do that, and I've kind of been doing it middle of the show. So it's just one to think about. But we could have Son, Rashford and Dennis if we took out Madison, Rafinha and Kane. But we wouldn't get Bernardo in that instance. But it's just another one to think about. If you're kind of thinking you want to do a transfer to kind of get you ahead of the curve and you want to get onto the Manchester United thing.
That was also my point with Rashford as well, that you made a great point. A lot of what our success came from last season was making these transfers before the sort of the herd made them as well, and getting ahead of the crowd. And maybe Rashford might not be the right person to do that. It might be Bruno. It might be someone else. But I think, and that United team, they're devoid of all confidence. Really, they were obviously until Ralph's come in. And I think there's been that instant manager bounce. And Carragher and Neville actually did a really good analysis of them both on Monday Night Football today about that instant change and the stability of the team, albeit from one game, very, very small sample size. But the fact that you could see instantly when Klopp's first game, that philosophy was installed straight away. And you could see that in that first Liverpool performance. Same for when Tuchel came in for Chelsea. And Ralph Rangnick had that same impact for Man United against a very counter-attacking, good Crystal Palace team. And I'd like a little bit of that. It pains me to say it because I hate Man United, but I think it could be a way for us to climb the ranks. I do like your proposition there, because I think Son is someone that would still give us hopefully Spurs points whilst not having to rely on Sir Harold. But then at the detriment of not having Silva worries me quite a bit.
But there's nothing to tell us that United are definitely going to score loads of goals straight off the bat.
No, true.
Whereas Son and Bernardo are doing that now.
Yeah.
I do still prefer that, the one that I suggested at the start with Son, Bernardo plus another striker. Also because it does give us a bit of additional money. So Madison's, I think, has got a good fixture this week, but then I think his fixtures aren't great. So we could switch him. That does keep us in with money. And even if, say, Bowen goes up, we can switch for Bowen. Or we've got a bit of flexibility there to, you know, we've had problems this year when we haven't had flexibility. And the move with Son, Rashford and Dennis leaves us pretty much locked up. And we've still got players like Tony then in the lineup who are, you know, I'd like to move on, but we can't because we don't have any flexer.
I would say Tony and Dennis is probably worse than my suggestion of Tony and Josh King up front. Like that's two very poor options.
Yeah, Josh King looks great. The stats are brilliant, but he hasn't been backing that up in recent weeks as much as Dennis, who's been absolutely flying. You know, I don't know enough about Watford. That's the sad thing. When talking about bringing in a player that I just haven't been watching with that much regularity.
I would love to somehow shoehorn Antonio in there because it is nice to have him in the side, but you know, it's the same old thing. We can't have it all. We need to figure out what our priorities are. And I think Bernardo has to be a priority. And I think Son has to. And I know I picked Bruno at the start of the pod, but I think I've kind of been persuaded otherwise.
So we could go Uber Turbo, take a -8. It doesn't matter right now, does it? Let's have fun. And get Antonio and King up front by ditching the Tony.
I like that idea.
Who cares what about -8 right now?
Can you
now?
Order an Uber Turbo as well? That's all I was thinking. Can you get an Uber Turbo?
No, I like that idea, Greg. -8, I mean, it could be unnecessary, but I mean...
We've kicked ourselves this season when we haven't been aggressive, and I think we've almost been...
-8 is unnecessary, come on.
Can we get Reggie on Antonio for a -12?
We can get Antonio in the week after. Well, we could get him straight away, I imagine, but...
We could get him the week after, yeah. But imagine getting him now.
If I had to go for any of the things we discussed, I think it would probably be Bernardo, Son and King. But I really like your Rashford idea there as well, Greg. You were very convincing there. So it's just very hard to trust United until I've seen a few games.
In terms of captain, I mean, it's fairly obvious. Salah at home against Villa, best attacking side in the lead. I mean, in the league, Villa have been better, but you're still going for Salah. If you were going to go bold decision, who would you go for?
I'd go Jota because I think God knows how he did not score against his old... I mean, agent Jota against Wolves, wasn't it? But he's getting in such good positions and he could be the other rogue pick maybe this week.
I think without wanting to be boring going 3 Liverpool, Trent could be interesting as well. Like he has the potential to do really well against Villa. Even Bernardo at home to Wolves, but it's still...
Kane's an option as well, guys. I mean, I know we're getting rid of him, but that squad, and like, you know it's going to happen at some point. I mean, I want him out of my team just because he's frustrating as hell right now, but he is an option for rogue captaincy pick this week. And Son, obviously. Son, if you're going to go for Spurs attack. I mean, if we're bringing Son in, I'd probably push for Son as our captain.
Over Salah?
Yeah.
You mad.
You crazy, boy.
Walloped him this week. -8, Son captain, Bosh.
Right. End of the podcast, lads. Anything else that you want to talk about at the end of the FPL experiment?
I am looking forward to hanging out with you two and all of our other friends this Sunday for our Christmas drinks. We're going to go to a sports bar, watch Red Zone, Nick drinking Baileys. Oh, it's going to be good.
Will that be your drink of choice, Nick?
I'll probably be on the Turbo Baileys, to be honest.
What's a Turbo Baileys?
Baileys with whiskey in it.
Nah, Nick, we need you out for more than an hour.
No, the cream settles me down. The lactose has a real soothing effect on me, so...
Oh, I can't wait to put a video of you sipping up Baileys on our Instagram feed.
Thing is, we're going out for curry after the Red Zone as well, so curry on top of Baileys. Yeah, after.
Why would we not go out before?
Well, that's interesting. Do you think I should have Baileys before a curry? That's probably a bad combination.
Yes,
4 hours.
Yeah, let's play Feed Nick for the whole of December and see how big... Let's see if we can make you as wide as your barnet is long.
Maybe we've also got awards as well that are going to be given out, which I'm very much looking forward to too.
The awards are going to be, I'm hoping, really inappropriate.
Given the fact that the person's given them out is highly inappropriate, I'd be very disappointed if not. And I know he listens to this podcast and he's been... weirdly quiet about the awards, given the fact that he took the job away from me because I'm too busy. But I'm very much looking forward to that.
It's funny, isn't it? Like I now, because we go out relatively infrequently versus when we were younger, every time we go out, I get so excited to the point where it's almost like we go out on stag do's. Like I feel like it's going to be like a stag do. And it's just like a nice little pleasant curry, but I feel like it's going to become something a little bit naughty.
Save the money for the casino, Nicholas.
Oh, gives me the willies already.
I'm not going into the casino. That's just not happening.
Nah. You say that now.
I'm not going in the casino. No. End of the podcast. Thanks for listening. We're not making decisions now, but we will stick the team up before the deadline, which is on a Friday night, by the way. So watch out for that one, or Friday night UK time. Team will go up at FPL Experiment on Twitter and Instagram. Have a cracking game week. It's good to be back.